I mean that his nature will be merely the nature that Adam and Eve had, nothing greater or less. Even in that condition he may be able to resist all temptations that may assail him, yet, he will always be subject to fall from his state of happiness, and so become more or less unhappy. This is the future of men who have not received the divine love. But the spirit who has this divine love becomes, as it were, a part of divinity itself, and will never be subject to temptation or unhappiness. He will be free from all powers that may possibly exist for leading him to unhappiness, as if he were a very god. I mean that his divinity cannot possibly be taken from him by any power or influence or instrumentality in all the universe of God. This love makes a mortal and sinful man an immortal and sinless spirit, destined to live through all eternity in the presence of and at one with the Father. So, if men would only think and realize the importance of obtaining this divine love, they would not be so careless in their thoughts and aspirations concerning those things which will determine their future state through all eternity. The importance of these truths cannot be too forcibly placed before men for their consideration, and, when the time comes for them to pass over, the more they have pondered on and obtained a knowledge of these truths, the better will be their condition in the spirit world. The spirit world will not help them so very much to obtain a more enlightened insight into these spiritual matters, because in this world men differ and have their opinions just as on earth. Of course, they have not all the temptations to indulge their passions and appetites, which they had when in the flesh, but as regards their opinion of spiritual things, the opportunities are not very much greater, except in this, that because of the 71, freedom from the passions and influences of the flesh, they may sooner turn their thoughts to higher things, and in this way sooner realize that only this new birth in love of the divine can save them entirely from the natural results that follow the possession of only the natural love. A spirit is only a man without an earthly body, and the cares that necessarily belong to the obligations of earth ties. Even as a spirit, some retain these cares for a long time after coming over, and then are relieved of them by paying the penalties of a violated law. Well, I have written long and must stop. So I say with my blessings and love, good night. Your fellow spirit, Jesus, I am here, Helen. Well, was not that a wonderful message of the Master? It was so full of things that should make men think and work to get this divine love that he spoke of. I am happy to say that I have it now to a considerable degree, and the more I get of it the happier I am. I thought that I was happy when I entered the third sphere, and more so in the fifth, and then supremely so in the seventh, but, really, I did not know what happiness was, until I got into my present home in the celestial heavens, and I suppose as I go higher, the happiness of each succeeding progressive sphere will be so much greater than that from which I progressed. But, of course, the Master has been the great teacher, whose love and power have helped me more than all the others. He is so wonderful in love and wisdom that I almost adore him, although, he says that I must worship only God, and I follow his directions. My experiences here are so wonderful that I hardly realize what it all means. My time in the spirit world has been so short, and yet, the wonderful knowledge of spiritual truths and the great happiness that I have received, cause me to wonder in amazement that such things could be. You have had a long writing tonight, and I think I had better stop, so good night. Your loving wife, Helen. March 4, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I want to write tonight on the love of man. This love is one that is not understood by humanity in its most important particular. I mean that this love is not one that is, the Paget Messages 1915, sufficient to give man the highest degree of happiness which he may obtain in either the mortal life or in the life to come. This love is of a nature that changes with the change in the ideas and desires of man, and has no stability that will serve to keep him constant in his affections. No man who has only this love can ever be in condition to say that he will continue to have this love for a longer time than the present, and when he thinks that his love can never change, or leave him, he is only giving wish to the thought. But this love is one that may last for a long time, and sometimes it seems that it can never die or grow less, yet, in its very nature, it is not that constancy which ensures its lasting longer than a moment of time. I do not mean to say anything disparaging of this natural love, for it is undoubtedly the greatest gift that the Father has bestowed upon mankind, and without it, men would be in a very unhappy condition. Yet, it is not the great love of the Father which all men may receive, if they will only seek and strive to obtain it by prayer and faith. This natural love is that which unites men and women in unity while on earth, and enables them to approach nearer to a life of happiness than does any other human quality, but still it has the danger always accompanying it, that sometime, in some way, it may cease to exist. The mother's love is the strongest of all loves given to mortals, and apparently it can never end or grow old, yet a time may come when even that love will die or cease to retain all its vitality or beauty. I know it is said that love never dies, but that is not true as regards this natural love, and no man can say that his love of today will remain his love of a few years hence. Yet, there is a love that may be called the natural love that will last forever, providing these souls seek and obtain the divine love. And that is the love that God has implanted in two souls that He has designed to become one in spirit life. This love is in reality not the love of two souls, but one and the same love manifested in the two opposite sexes, and which is only a complete one when these two apparently independent souls come together in perfect unity. This is what is commonly called the love of soulmates, and which is that essence of spiritual love which makes the happiness of the two spirits or mortals seemingly complete. Yet this love is not of a divine nature, but merely the highest type of the natural love. 7. When men speak of the love of one mortal for his fellow man, it means merely the love which his human nature is capable of having and giving to another mortal. I do not wish to be understood as in any way implying that this love is not a great boon and blessing to mankind. For it is, and without it, there would not be the harmony that exists on earth even to its present extent, when hatred and anger seems to have taken its place in the hearts of many men who are now striving to kill and destroy. World War I, but this is only for a season. The war will cease and then men will realize, more than for a long time, that only their love for one another can make the earth a happy and desirable place to live on. Love, I know it is said, is the fulfilling of the law, but no man can thoroughly understand this until he knows what love is. I do not mean that in order to fulfill every law man must have the divine love of the Father, because there are laws that govern the divine existence, and laws that govern the human and the merely spiritual existence, and the love of the divine is the fulfillment of the former laws, and the natural love is the fulfillment of the latter laws. So you must see that only as men have the love of the divine can they fulfill the laws of the divine existence, and so, as they have the natural love only, can they fulfill the natural laws. But this natural love will not suffice to make them at one with the Father, as I have before written, and the utmost of its powers and functions is to give them that happiness which they will receive in living the life of a spirit or man unredeemed. I will not say that man should not cultivate this love for his fellow man to the greatest possible degree, for he should, and if that should be the only kind of love that he may have, either on earth or in the spirit world, the more of it that he possesses the happier will he be, and the greater will be the happiness of his fellow man and fellow spirit. So when I said, while on earth, that men should love their God and love their fellow men as themselves, I meant that they should do so with all the possibilities of whatever love they might possess. Yet, if men would only learn, as they can, that there is no necessity for them to have only the natural love, but that they can all seek the greater love, and obtain the correspondingly greater happiness, and immortality. Men do not realize this, though, and seem to be satisfied with this, but still not God's divine essence. 72. The Paget Messages 1915. Natural love in the pleasures that ensue from its possession. I would not have them do anything that would lessen this love or shut their hearts to its influence, when it is pure and good, but yet, I cannot help trying to impress upon them the great desirability of having this higher love in their souls. I am a lover of all men, and I want them to feel the happiness of the inflowing of the divine love, and thereby learn what the love of God means, and what they may have if they will only seek. This love of the purely natural will not suffice for the temptations that beset men on earth, and, also, will not ensure against temptations when they become spirits. I know this, and hence I say it with the positiveness of one who knows, you may say, with authority. As you are tired, I must stop. With all my blessings and love, I am, your brother in spirit, Jesus. March 5, 1915. I am here, your grandmother. Yes, it is I. I want to tell you, when I passed over, I was received in the spirit world by your grandfather and my own dear mother, who had been in the spirit world for so very many years. She was then living in the seventh sphere and was a most beautiful and happy spirit. Now she is far up in the celestial spheres, and occasionally comes to see me and tells me of the great beauty of her home, and of the wonderful spirits who inhabit the spheres where she lives. She lives in a high sphere of the celestial heavens, and is with many of the redeemed spirits who lived on earth many centuries ago. She mentioned some of them who were well known on earth, such as John Wesley and his brother Charles, and Luther and some of his contemporaries who were engaged in the great reforms of those days. Whitefield is one she named, and Bunyan, also. They seem to have reached this sphere by obtaining the love that we have written you of. So, when I think that, through gradual development and progression of my spiritual being, there are these high spheres for me to attain to, I feel that my faith and seeking for the divine love have a great deal yet to accomplish, in the way of soul development. Well, shortly after I passed over, I progressed to the third sphere, and thought that there the very seat of heaven must be, because my happiness was 73, so much greater than I ever anticipated. Well, when I first entered the spirit world, I confess I was disappointed, because I did not see the Father on his throne and Jesus sitting on his right hand, as I had been taught to believe, but it was not long before I realized that such a belief had no foundation in truth, and that God has no throne, such as the writers of the Bible had declared, but that his spirit is manifested everywhere and in all places, and is a spirit that has no form in the sense that I had been taught to believe. After living in the third sphere for some little time, and having received much information from spirits who lived in higher spheres, and having received a great abundance of God's love, I progressed to the fifth sphere and found a wonderful home of beauty and harmony among spirits who had experiences similar to my own, and who had received the divine love to a degree which gives us all this great happiness that I tell you of. In some of the planes of this sphere are many spirits who have not received this divine love, but who have attained to wonderful moral and intellectual qualifications, but they were not so happy as were those who had received the great love of the Father. They gave their thoughts and works more to things that pertain to moral and intellectual progress than to the soul development in the divine love. It may seem strange to you that these spirits could live in an atmosphere where so much of God's love was manifested by the numerous spirits who had received this love, and yet, not realize that this divine love is the one great thing absolutely necessary for their further progress and greater happiness. But such is the fact, and many of these spirits of the greatest intellectual development are still pursuing their studies of laws that have to do solely with things that relate to the operations of spiritual laws and the causes of phenomena that astonish both mortals and spirits. Did many times that they have not had an awakening to the real and grander truths of spirit life, and to the causes of the development of the souls of those with whom they come in contact, who are so much more beautiful and happier than are these students of merely spiritual laws and causes that produce only astonishing phenomena. Strange as it may seem to some, intellectual progression is not necessary to soul progression, but with soul progression by obtaining the divine love comes a wonderful knowledge of the Paget Messages 1915. These are the things that I speak of. I, as you know, was a person of just ordinary mental acquirements, yet in this spirit world I have left behind me many great minds possessed of wonderful intellectual information. I mean not only as regards the progress of my soul, but also as regards the attainment of knowledge that these men are devoting their time and work to obtain. Strange also, it may seem to you, that with soul development in the divine love there comes intellectual development, but to us who have experienced this fact it is not strange, because the mind is only an attribute or, as I may say, a quality of the soul, and as the soul develops in the divine love, the mind must necessarily also develop. Philosophy is merely the conclusion of minds that have given thought and investigation to the subject matter of that philosophy, and, When it is determined by the mere mind, it is still uncertain, and subject to revision and change as the mind may change. The mind, in its development, does not necessarily learn the full and real truth, and in this spirit life, among these men of purely great minds that do not possess the divine love, there is as much variety of opinion, and as many disputes as to what is the truth, as there are on earth. The mind, of itself, cannot always discern the truth, because it is not infallible, even when it is the mind of a spirit and that spirit a highly developed one. But as the soul develops in the divine love, this development means that what comes to it as a fact is a truth, the everlasting truth. The soul does not learn all truths at once, but the truth that it does learn is one that never changes, and lets no revision alter or set it aside. No, truth of the soul's discernment is never shown to be error, and no error ever becomes a part of the soul's discernment of truth. So, you see, the great road to the ascertainment of the realities of God is through, and only through, the development of the soul by the inflowing of the divine love. The eye of the soul is that interior perception which needs not reason from cause and effect to discern and forever establish the truths of God. So, how very necessary that men and spirits should learn the great fact, that if they would learn the truth of spirit life, they must endeavor to develop the soul's powers of perception by seeking for the inflowing into their souls of the divine love. I could tell you many wonderful things to illustrate these propositions, if I had the time to do so. But I have not now, but sometime I will go 74, more in detail on this subject, and then you will more fully understand what I mean. Well, after I had lived in this fifth sphere and learned the great and wonderful truths that are taught therein, I progressed to the seventh and there learned what real happiness is, as I thought. No spirit who has not received this great love of the Father lives in this sphere, because the mind is, as it were, absorbed by the soul to such a great extent, that without the soul development the mind would have no place of lodgement. I mean that the mind, as such, then becomes so subordinated to the powers and operations of the soul perceptions that it cannot exist as mere mind, independent of the soul's development. In this sphere all is grand and beautiful to an extent that I cannot describe, because you have no possible mental conception with which I can compare such beauty and grandeur. Our homes are very harmonious and without stain or anything that emanates from things other than the soul's essence and power. No mere intellectual happiness exists, and no spirit who has not this great love could possibly be happy there. But yet, while all this happiness exists, I was told that happiness is far greater in the celestial spheres, and, consequently, I was not satisfied to remain in the seventh sphere, although I could not realize how my happiness could be any greater than it was. Yet, as I say, I was not contented to remain in my home there. And I was also told that there was a way to get into this celestial sphere, and a way so easy that the mere statement of it caused doubt. But I prayed for faith and the divine love, and on an occasion my faith brought the divine love into my soul in such abundance, and I progressed to the first celestial sphere, where I now am. The book of Revelation in the Bible, in its most extravagant description of the New Jerusalem, gives no true conception of what the beauty and magnificence of this sphere is, and I will not attempt to describe it, for I cannot. But a man, or spirit either, who has never seen the wonderful beauty of this sphere, cannot conceive of what its magnificence is. I am so very happy that it seems to me there can be no greater happiness, and yet, my mother tells me that there is, and that the divine love of the higher spheres is so much more intense and filled with so much more of God's divinity that I cannot have the slightest conception of what it is. I am now trying to reach these higher spheres, and am told that faith and prayer for the inflowing, the Paget Messages 1915, into my soul of the divine love are the only instrumentalities that will enable me to do so. My prayers are constant and my faith is growing. And I realize, that when the Holy Spirit fills me with this divine love, as I expect it to do, I shall progress. So you see, one great element of God's method of making His redeemed happy, is to set before them a higher mark for which they may seek with the assurance that it can be attained. Well, I have written you quite a letter, and feel that I must stop now, as I need to leave the earth's atmosphere for a while. So with all my love and blessings, I am your grandmother, Anne Rollins. March 6, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I want to write tonight on sin and error. My father's love is, as I have written, the only thing in all this universe that can save men from their evil natures, and make them at one with him. This divine love I have already explained, and when mankind will read my messages and try to understand the meaning of this love, it will soon become more at peace with itself and with God. This divine love is the one great power that moves the universe, and without it there would not be that wonderful harmony that exists in the celestial heavens of the spirit world, nor would so much happiness exist among the angels who inhabit these spheres. This divine love is also the influence which makes men on earth think and do that which makes for peace and goodwill among men. It is not possessed by all men, in fact, by comparatively few, yet its influence is felt over nearly the whole earth. Even those who have never heard of my teachings, or of my Father, enjoy the benefit of its influence, in some kind of belief or faith in an overshadowing spirit of great power and watchfulness. I know that this is true, for I have visited all parts of the earth, and have looked into men's hearts and found in them some elements of belief, which evidenced that this great love was influencing these unenlightened people. So, notwithstanding the fact that my gospel is not preached to every creature, as I commanded when on earth, yet this love of the Father is everywhere and all-pervading. Still, it is not received in all that fullness that enables those who feel its influence to realize that God is their Father, and they are His children, who may become members of His household in the 75 celestial spheres. No man can receive this love unless he has faith in the Father's willingness to bestow it upon him, and truly and with earnestness prays for it. Every man has in him the natural love which will give him great happiness in eternity as a mere spirit and an inhabitant of the spheres lower than the celestial, even though he refuses to seek for the divine love that will make him a divine angel of the celestial heavens. Only this divine love can change the natural man into a man having the divine nature in love that the Father has. I do not mean that man, even though he be filled with this love to the highest degree, will ever become a God and equal to the Father in any of his powers or attributes. This cannot be, but this love will make him like the Father in love and happiness and harmony. This love has no counterpart in all creation, and comes from the Father alone. It changes not, nor is ever bestowed on anyone who is unworthy, or refuses to seek for it in the only way provided by the Father. My experience in these celestial heavens is that this love has the power to change the most hardened sinner into a true child of God, if only through faith and prayer such sinner will seek for it. Let this love take possession of a man or spirit, and its power to purify and change the heart of that man or spirit never fails. Your brother and friend, Jesus. March 9, 1915. I am here, Jesus. You are in condition to resume my message tonight. I am in a condition of love that enables me to know that my Father's love is the only love that can redeem mankind and make it at one with Him. So you must understand that this divine love is a love that has no counterpart in all the universe, and must be received by man in all its fullness, in order for him to attain to the celestial spheres, where the Father's fountainhead of love exists. So I say, that no man can become a part of God's divinity until he receives this divine love and realizes that he and his Father are one in love and purity. I will now tell you what this divine love means to everyone who has received it. He is in a condition of perfect peace, and his happiness is beyond all comparison, and he is not willing that anything or power shall lead him to those things that are not in accord with the divine love and God's laws of harmony. He is not only happy, but, the Paget Messages 1915, is a way beyond the lower spirits in intellectual development and knowledge of the spiritual things of the Father. I know that no man is able to obtain the great soul perceptions until he has the soul development, and is fitted to live in the celestial spheres, where only love and harmony exist. So, do not think if a man merely becomes wonderful in his knowledge in an intellectual sense, he is fitted to live in these higher spheres, for he is not, only the great development of the soul, by obtaining into his soul the divine love, will enable him to live there. Question: John never said that by me were all things created that were created, and that I, as God, came to earth and became an indweller in the flesh. That is a mistake and an interpolation, for I never was God, neither did I ever create any part of the universe. I was only a spirit of God, sent by him to work out man's salvation, and show him the only way to the heavenly home that God has in keeping for those who receive the new birth. Well, I live in all spheres, but my home is in a sphere that is very close to the fountainhead of God's love. It has no name or number. With me in the celestial spheres are all those who have received this divine love to such an extent that they have become entirely purified and at one with the Father. Many are progressing towards that home and will, sooner or later, get there. Those who fully received this divine love through faith and prayer are in the celestial spheres, but those who have not yet obtained this love to the degree mentioned, are not. Yes, Paul is, and so are Peter and John and James and several others. Question: I meant that I would go to the celestial spheres where I now am and prepare these mansions, which I have now done. And it rests with spirits and mortals only to become inhabitants thereof. Some are, and some are not. The mere fact that these ancient prophets and seers were the mere instruments of God in declaring his purposes and laws, does not mean that they necessarily received this great love, so that they are now inhabitants of the celestial spheres. Moses and Elias are in the celestial spheres and so is John the Baptist, but many great teachers of spiritual things or of future existence are not, because they have not obtained the new birth. Well, it will depend on whether you live and believe in such a way as to get this great love. If you do, you will not have to wait long years to be with me in the celestial spheres. You are now in 76, the right way, and if you will only persevere and let your faith increase and get the divine love in sufficient abundance in your soul, you will be. And this remember, that I am your special friend and helper, and will be with you when you are in doubt or trouble, and will keep you from relapsing into a state of unbelief or of carelessness. If, as you say, you will seek the divine love, and pray to the Father in faith, and believe that the Father will bestow it upon him, he will receive it, and when he receives it in sufficient abundance all sin that he may have committed will be blotted out. No further will he have to pay the penalties of his deeds of sin and error. This is what I came principally to teach mankind. When I said, as you sow so shall you reap, I meant this to be the law of God as applied to the natural man as well as to everything else in nature, but that law is subject to be set aside so far as its operations on the souls of men are concerned, by the soul of man receiving in sufficient abundance, the divine love. And when the great love of the Father is sought and received by the soul of man in sufficient abundance, the law of compensation is made non-effective and the law of love becomes supreme, and man is relieved from the penalties of his sins. Yes, I know how men reason about this matter, and that is the great stumbling block that prevents them from receiving this divine love, and believing that it is efficacious in saving them from paying the penalties of their sins. Well, you now see what I am trying to do, and I am so well satisfied that you will make a success of your work, that I feel more than ever certain that my messages will be understood and given to the world. So keep up your courage, and in a short time all will be in such condition that there will be nothing to interfere with your doing the work as you desire. Yes, most assuredly, and when you get into the work with all your earnestness and faith, you will see that you will be able to receive the messages just as I intend that you shall receive them. Let us stop now. Your own true brother in spirit, Jesus. March 10, 1915. I am here, Helen. Well, I am very happy, and you are happier and feel better. I am now going to write you about my home, in the celestial spheres, as I promised, and you must not think I am not in condition to write, if I should not be able to describe it as you may think I, the Paget Messages 1915, should. The only reason for my failure will be that I cannot find words to express myself. Well, my house is a beautiful white one of a substance that you might think of as alabaster, and two stories in height, with rooms on each side of a wide and beautiful hall. The rooms are very large and filled with the most beautiful furniture that you can conceive of. The walls are all hung with satin coverings, and between are lovely pictures. The parlor, as you would call it, is filled with the most exquisite and comfortable couches and chairs, and with beautiful tables and bric-a-brac, and also many pictures of landscapes and fruits and flowers.